Hello, seafood friends. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. Last week, we got to hear from Josh Zive, the executive director of the newly formed U.S. Shrimp Coalition. Well, this week, we've got another guest joining us on the podcast, Marcy B. Miller, the newly appointed commercial director of the Americas for Norwegian cod farmer Ode.
But before we hear from Marcy, let's run through some of the big headlines of the week. Like Aqua Bounty, the U.S. land-based aquaculture firm known for its genetically engineered salmon, looking to convert its sole remaining asset, a partially built farm in Ohio, into a data center.
Did not see that one coming.
Not at all. So Aqua Bounty announced in December 2024 that it was ceasing its fish farming operations, but it still went forward with securing all the required permits for its Pioneer, Ohio site. The goal was to preserve the property's value for potential investors or buyers, but that seems to have gone to the wayside. The company announced it's seeking to maximize the value of its Ohio property by pursuing potential development opportunities that include conversion to powerful infrastructure, energy development, or data center use.
Aqua Bounty Interim CEO David Frank said that it was prudent of the company to expand its strategic review beyond traditional aquaculture opportunities to include parties seeking sites with robust utility infrastructure and abundant water resources. Ohio ranks among the top states nationally with over 220 data centers, including for companies like Amazon, Google, and Microsoft.
Full story from Undercurrent editorial director Cliff White in the show notes. In other news, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is moving ahead with plans to buy $25 million worth of seafood for distribution through federal nutrition assistance programs. USDA issued two separate solicitation notices Thursday covering farm-raised catfish and Atlantic pollock. The government is looking to purchase 4.4 million pounds of unbreaded raw catfish fillets packaged in 22-pound packages. Vendors have until August 31st to submit offers, with USDA expected to announce which bids it accepts by September 14th.
USDA issued a second notice seeking 11,700 cases of frozen Atlantic pollock fillets. The timeline is the same. Bids are due August 31st, acceptances are expected September 14th, and deliveries will take place between November 1st and the end of April. These purchases are part of a larger $76.5 million Section 32 food buying program that USDA announced in late July. At the time, USDA's Agriculture Marketing Service said it planned to spend $5 million on Atlantic groundfish and $20 million on farm-raised catfish, with the products ultimately distributed through USDA food and nutrition assistance programs.
The catfish purchase comes after some pretty direct lobbying from lawmakers in the South. Five Republican senators from major catfish producing states, Cindy Hyde Smith and Roger Wicker of Mississippi, Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, and Tom Cotton of Arkansas, called on USDA in June to purchase surplus catfish. In a letter to Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, the senator said a Section 32 purchase would provide producers with needed cash flow and help ease financial pressure caused by inflation. USDA has already purchased 192,000 pounds of catfish products this year, valued at about $848,000. Consolidated Catfish of Mississippi landed that contract despite USDA receiving seven offers. But to compare to previous years, USDA's got a ways to go. For example, in 2025, USDA's AMS purchased 9.9 million pounds of catfish products worth $45.6 million. And in 2024, the agency purchased 13 million pounds worth $60.5 million.
And that full story is in the show notes. Now, as promised, we've got Marcy B. Miller joining us on the pod.
Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Marcy is the newly appointed commercial director of Ode Americas, joining the Norwegian cod farmer after nearly a decade running Candor Consulting and Candor Seafood, where, as founder, she advised global seafood companies on sales, marketing, and logistics across the supply chain. She has more than 30 years of seafood industry experience spanning aquaculture and wild fisheries, and previously served as president of the U.S. Division of Sano Seafoods and as a director of food service and national accounts at Marine Harvest, known as Maui, where she built expertise in the Chilean seafood industry. Earlier in her career, she worked in Mississippi's catfish industry before joining Trident Seafoods.
But it was through her consulting firm, Candor, that you and I first met Marcy, Lauren. And she also serves on the board of the National Fisheries Institute and co-founded the Sea Sirens, a professional network for women working across the seafood industry.
And it's through the Sea Sirens that we connected with some of our prior podcast guests, like Jay Taylor of Angel Oak Smokehouse and Catherine Kvalheim and Tone Helsvik of Ode. And that brings us to where we are today.
So without any further ado, let's welcome Marcy.
Ooh, hi, girls. How are you guys?
We are wonderful now that you are here. As we recapped for our listeners, you've had a pretty unique career across seafood, started in Mississippi's catfish industry, moved into Alaska seafood, then Chilean salmon, and now Norwegian farmed cod. You spent years working with Ode as a consultant. So we want to know, what was the moment when you realized, I actually want to join this company?
Well, it was a long time coming. I've been consulting for them for a long time. We had a break there for about a year, and then I came back and I was just blown away with how far they've come, what their goals were, how they set their goals, and how they were able to reach those goals in such a short period of time. You know, when you meet with, CEOs and startup companies and you hear what their plans are and you just kind of shake your head, you're like, oh, that's great. I hope you can accomplish that. And the fact that they did is just mind-boggling to me. They're doing everything they said they were going to do and going above and beyond what any other company I've ever worked with has done.
And talk about what they've done. They just received ASC certification. And then they just announced late last month that they're the first farmed cod producer to report an annual net profit. So a lot of big moves in a short amount of time. Ode is currently in the US market, but getting a broader launch this fall. Why are the Americas such a huge opportunity for farm cod right now? And can you tell us what the industry can expect to see from Ode over the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, the volume is going to be quite a bit more. So like this year, we'll probably do about 16,000 metric tons. And in 2027, they're set to do 24,000 metric tons. So that's quite a jump, and we have an opportunity to sell many more customers. And they're also looking at some value-added items. They're going to be launching soon in Europe, which are burgers. And, so it's very exciting what they're doing, the innovative ideas that they have. And also, Ode isn't just a cod that can be sold as a product that you deep fry or you bake or pan saute. This is a product that you can use as a sushi product or a crudo or ceviche. There's so many different things you can do with that. So you're going to see, in the next year, our volume grow, and you're going to see cod on different menus and in retailers that can be served and eaten in different ways.
Amanda and I have been lucky enough to have it in its raw form.
I was about to say that.
It's delicious.
Yes.
So good.
I was going to say, I'm like, this is the audio, so you're not saying, but like when you said burgers, my eyebrows went up, because when I think of Ode, I just think about the raw form that I've been eating it in. So I'm like, I wouldn't even have thought about having it in burger form. So that kind of just like blew my mind right there, because I would love that too.
Yeah, me too.
Marcy, as you focus on expanding into the Americas, is there any particular market that you're especially excited for?
Well, of course, the United States. I'm very excited about that. Just so you know, we just got approved by Whole Foods. We passed that audit. That is not an easy audit to
It
pass.
doesn't
It's
sound like an easy audit to pass.
no.
Congratulations.
Yeah, there were some changes that we needed to make, and we made them. Our team made that commitment to change netting, change feed a little bit, do everything that we had to do to satisfy the needs for Whole Foods. It's such an important account. And I'm just so happy that I mean, literally, it was just like a week ago that I got the notice that we passed the audit.
What happens now after passing that audit process, though?
Now, we've been talking for a long time about how we're going to enter Whole Foods, if it's going to be regionally or small region to start with. And, we haven't even developed the spec yet. We're working on that. So, that's still down the line. We needed to pass the audit first. Now we pass the audit and we can start working on, what the future means. It's exciting. And then, so the US is my first focus, but I think about the business I've done in Brazil over the years. When the real is strong and they eat more fish than anybody. There's a sushi restaurant on every corner in Brazil, and I think they have the second largest population of Japanese in the world, next to Japan, in Brazil. So that I think will be a great market for us. It's something unique and different for them. So I think that might be the first South American country that we visit.
I want to jump back to the US. One of the companies that you've been working with is Fortune Fish. Can you talk about some of the feedback that you heard from them?
They have been so wonderful to work with. They allowed me to come ride with their salespeople and talk to their restaurants and their retailers and cook the product with them. And it was just great that they'll allow me to come and help them grow the business. But with Fortune, Boston Sword and Tuna, and all their operations across the US, it's just an honor to be able to work with this team. They're our first distributor and they are very important to us.
Now, cod is already a very familiar species to American consumers, but I don't know if many know that in addition to wild caught, it can be farmed. I know I didn't until you introduced me to the team at Oad last year. Is that familiarity an advantage, or does Oad still have to convince buyers that farm cod belongs alongside the wild product that they already know?
Well, it depends on the buyer. We have different types of buyers out there. There's some that are just like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, or they're too busy, or they're focused on wild. And because of the shortages and the price increases on the wild, even those buyers are giving us opportunity to present the product. And it's a kind of product that if you get it in front of somebody and put it in their mouth and they can try it, they will buy it. It has so many unique traits. I don't believe that it's going to take anything away from wild cod. I think it's an addition to wild cod that's offered in the market because our product, I would say it's a little high end. It could meet a high end white tablecloth restaurant easily. It has less fat, so it cooks a lot faster than wild cod. I made that mistake during one of my first presentations. I cooked it side by side in an oven and I pulled it out and I'm like, uh-oh. And then luckily I had time to put ours back in, a new fillet back in and cooked it for like almost half the amount of time at the same temperature and it was perfection. So it has such a mild flavor, probably due to the lack of fat. And then, there's just so many different ways that you can sell this. Like I said, there's just so many different ways to eat this cod that you can't do with wild. So I feel like it's not a me too, but I think you can have both on a menu or both in the retail case.
I was just out to eat last night. We were at like a Mexican restaurant and it was like breaded cod tacos. And I think of like cod, when I think of cod, my mind immediately kind of goes to like that breaded. And so I think it's really interesting that you're targeting high-end restaurants. It is, I guess, a completely different product, isn't it?
It is very different. It's not exactly like a wild cod. It has its own attributes, in my opinion. Yeah, it's better, but it's a product that you're going to see chefs take and put their own flavor on it. They're probably not going to want to bread it. They can bread it, but they're probably not going to want to. You know, most of the chefs that I've visited, which have been probably over 100 right now with this product, the chef will take it and just throw it in a pan or under a broiler with salt and pepper and olive oil and, you know, and just taste it, or without any seasoning whatsoever, and they're just like, wow, this will take on any flavor. That I could put this with my, you know, when halibut's out of market, I can put this on, you know, or this is something that could be available year round, because that's another attribute. This is available 52 weeks a year round, and wild caught is not.
Yeah, that's great to mention that it allows the chefs and the people using it to keep their creativity because it's so versatile and it's always available. So that's a great selling point as well. So O talks a lot about sustainability and traceability. In a press release announcing your appointment, you said those things go beyond the industry buzzwords. So how is Ode actually implementing these things into their practices?
One of the really cool things they're doing is they have nets that can drop down to colder waters. So in the summertime, when the water is warm on top and the fish wouldn't be as comfortable, they wouldn't want to eat, they wouldn't be growing, we can now lower those nets to colder temperatures that are it's more optimal for growth and for the fish and the health of the fish, the happiness of the fish. And then when the water temperature changes, it can come up. I don't understand why the salmon industry hasn't done this for years. I think back in my days working in Chile and all those algae blooms. I mean, if they would have had these nets back then, we would have never had the issues with algae blooms. And we wouldn't have the issue with the warm temperature on top. So I love that Ode has implemented that. And I personally haven't seen that in any other farm that I've worked with. And in addition, to keep the cod from spawning, you know, which has been a big issue in the past, like years ago, back when I was with Marine Harvest, now Maui, they started a farm cod, but the issues were spawning and cannibalism. And how do you prevent that? And Ode has been able to put a light system that's run by solar on all of their nets and their pens, so the fish won't spawn. So they're able to control that with light.
So Marcy, what's next for you? Are you taking the Ode Show on the road?
Well, we're going to have a sales meeting in Oslo first week of September. So I'm excited about that. We'll get together with the whole team and I'll get to meet some people I haven't met yet. And that's exciting. Then Tone's going to come over to the US. I'm super happy that I'll get to spend some time with her. Every time I'm with her, I learn something new. And we're going to the leadership conference in DC with the National Fisheries Institute. We'll be at the Sushi Summit because we're on the Sushi Council. And then after that, Tone's going to work with me in the US. We're going to go visit some customers, some new potential customers. Hopefully, get to go meet with the guys at Fortune and, you know, a couple retailers, maybe a club store. We'll see. I'm excited.
Well, that does it for us this week.
Thank you to Marcy B. Miller of Ode for joining us on the pod. We'll be back next week with all of your big seafood headlines. Bye-bye.